Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Well, as usual, I'm not at a loss for material, let me tell you. Facebook faces scandal, like Twitter and YouTube, over suppression of conservative speech. Now, we've not experienced that so far, but the evidence is clear that Dennis Prager's complaints are substantive. Breitbart has been singled out by FB. A new algorithm, I understand, targets conservative posts. But, you know, it is a free service, right? So, the YouTube shooting. Wow. Now, that was not about suppression of conservative speech, let me tell you. The Iranian YouTuber known as Nassim Esabz, a green Nassim, I understand, a vegan, became angry over suspicion that YouTube was suppressing her videos. Went out and bought a 9mm a month or so ago, visited the gun range the day before or on the day of that she left for her San Diego home. On a road trip to YouTube headquarters in San Francisco, she got into the YouTube campus through the parking garage and, I understand, wounded four before she took her own life. Now, I'm looking at all of this and I'm remembering something similar that we saw many years ago with a bombing spree that was going on, where it became clear that the media was feeding this kind of frenzied action, this behavior. It was almost as if the media's attention to the whole thing was planting the suggestion in the minds of other unstable souls to go out and do something similar. And I wonder if that's not feeding this in some way here. But anyway, why are so many of these young people so ready to throw their lives away? What kind of evil takes hold of a heart like this and that allows these devils to drive them into a murdering suicide mission, you know, over suspicion that someone at YouTube is treating them unfairly? Now, wouldn't you say that's a little over the top? Now, Trump wants to send troops to our border with Mexico, and the left, of course, is flipping out. Obama did it, by the way. Bush did it. In fact, I think every president since Reagan has sent troops to the Mexican border at some time in their administration. But you know how it is. The left is so obsessed with Trump, they can think of nothing else day after day. You know, Brown is under pressure to refuse to comply. It's getting hot there in Sacramento. Lawsuits pending on this state's illegal stand with the illegals. You know, now the entire state is illegal. You're talking about the defiant sanctuary city proclamation here a little while back. If there ever was a time for California to return to some sanity in government, it would be now. Someone described the rains pouring down on Northern California as a river flowing over us. But the editorial board of Mercury News wants to warn you, quote, don't think that means we don't need to conserve, end quote. Someone should tell those characters in Sacramento that water conservation starts with them. They refuse to use our tax dollars to do what our tax dollars ought to be used to do, and that's build the infrastructure necessary to retain our water, you know, when God provides it. But instead, they want us to conserve by doing without the water God has provided us. Think about that. It's time for some sanity to return to Sacramento. We don't need a bullet train. We need more dams and to maintain the dams we have and to do other things that'll address this water retention issue. Let's see. David Gergen opines that Trump is bringing about the death of democracy in America. Really? While he drives the dagger deep into the back of our republic. You know, instead of congratulating Trump on getting America back on track economically, which was always his bailiwick before, you know, he's willing to betray our republic to his hatred for the Donald. I mean, we've got stuff of concern here on my desk today. China's reaction to the tariffs. Chinese president makes himself permanent leader of China. That was a little while back, but still, I did have some things I wanted to say about it. North Korea and South Korea set a date for their summit. Russian President Putin wins another six-year term with a greater majority than in his last election. And then, you know, does a chest-beating thing about his unstoppable nuclear missiles. But experts say no fear of a return to the Cold War. Okay. But, my friend, It's not news that we have trouble right here in River City. California is now rated to be the most undesirable state in the union to live in. Thank you, Governor Brown. Thank you, liberals. The numbers show that California is losing to other states in virtually every category. Liberalism is destroying this beautiful state, and we are at open ideological war in this state. Conservatives are beginning finally to wake up and to kind of organize around some basic principles and to realize that while we have been enjoying our great California weather, beautiful scenery, and the progressives have burrowed down deep into every major area of our government, and like termites, they're destroying the infrastructure of our freedoms and liberties. They are strangling the life out of the state. The latest example is very disturbing, and I feel compelled to address it today, and it's something that should concern every American and every Christian from everywhere in the world that looks to America as a beacon of religious liberty. My friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I remember the late, great Charlton Heston declaring openly that America was engaged in a culture war, a war against our traditional American values, rooted in our rich Christian heritage as a nation. You should Google Charlton Heston culture war speech at Harvard and give that a listen. And that was in 1999. I think the first time he gave that address, however, was some years earlier. And yet all he was doing is acknowledging what we were already saying, something that has a whole lot more history to it than you might realize. I mean, it goes all the way back to the days of Darwin. The left has fought very long and hard to get where they are today, and they are not going to retreat, much less surrender. And I understand that a battle lost in this war or a battle won in that one does not itself decide the war, but some battles are more critical than others, and sometimes a war can turn on a single battle. And we might be facing such a battle right now in California. Pray for us. Two of our fundamental rights are under very specific and constant attack right now in this state. One of them is the right to keep and bear arms, and the other is that collection of rights affirmed in the First Amendment. And if we lose it here, don't think it's safe where you are. Many don't realize this, but the First Amendment actually addresses a fundamental right that is protected by a collection of specific rights. The specific rights acknowledged in the First Amendment are these: the freedom of religion, freedom of speech, the press, peaceable assembly, and the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, what is the core liberty that these protected rights protect as a kind of wall around the core liberty? Essentially, it's the right to think and believe and to organize to promote what you think and believe without coercive interference from the government. You know, maybe someone can reduce that to a simpler sentence: freedom of thought. That is at the heart of the First Amendment. The fundamental right to disagree, the foundational right to your own opinion. Necessarily, as axiomatic to that right, would include then the right to make up your own mind about things, to express your opinions, to speak them, to hear the opinions of others, to gather for the purpose of discussing and or acting on your opinions and thoughts, and to publish your opinions and to distribute them to the public, and to express your opinions to the government, and so on. And it really comes down to that, doesn't it? But government today, at least when under the influence of modern liberal ideology, are attempting to take control of what you are allowed to think and believe about certain things. That is rather like picking up mercury, because controlling what someone thinks is, well, virtually impossible. So they make laws respecting the auxiliary supports of that liberty. To get to the heart of it, they must attack the wall. The right to free speech, for example, make laws controlling what you can and cannot say. You know, it's interesting. Isaiah 29:21 says, "That make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught," for nothing, for silly little non-essential things. And that whether verbally or in print, by the way. Now, here's a simple exercise to illustrate. Here's a fellow that has the opinion that he's not a man, but a woman instead. I disagree, and I think he is a man. He has a right to his opinion, and I have a right to mine. His right to his opinion should not, must not, be allowed to infringe upon my right to mine. My right to free speech regarding my opinion is as valid as his right to free speech regarding his opinion in the matter. If he wants to call himself a her, well, that's his right. If I choose, however, to voice my opinion and call him a he, well, that's my right. It really is that simple. However, government in California, they're trying to make it against the law for you to express your opinion in this matter in certain situations that they choose. they select. This is very dangerous to all of our liberties, because once they can control when you have your right to your opinion and when you don't, you no longer have a right to your opinion, or when you can express your opinion and when you can't. Government decides for you, and under the coercive force of government, you're told what you can say and where you can say it. Our First Amendment protections have been under assault in California really for quite a long time. And now comes AB 2943. This law amends a law already in effect that effectively says homosexuals who are of the opinion that homosexuality is something they no longer want to practice are not allowed by this state to act on that opinion. Now, they can't seek someone out to help them overcome what they consider is a temptation to sin against their conscience and against nature. But California forbids them from seeking out someone to help them with that. Think about it. This is outrageous. Anyone agreeing to offer such assistance is right now made a lawbreaker if that individual is under 18 years of age. Well, this new law is going to remove the age limitation in application of this law. Now it will apply to anyone of any age. It goes farther and lays the groundwork to finally prohibit anyone from publishing anything that suggests homosexuals need help. It's targeting advertising at present, but think about this. If it's already against the law to offer anyone counseling or therapy to help them achieve their own goal of overcoming homosexual tendencies, why come behind that with a law forbidding advertising such a service? It's already against the law to do it. Does that make any sense? If you had a law against fixing broken windows, why would you then advertise that service publicly? Well, you wouldn't, of course. The intent is to restrict your right to publicly express your opinion that homosexuals need help. That's what this is all about. The bill in question, in Section 1 of the law, is a long statement of the opinion of the government on this issue. It assembles an array of what they consider, evidently, are supporting documentation, and they dismiss or ignore the findings of others that contradict those opinions. They certainly have a right to their opinions on the matter of homosexuality and on the question of the efficacy of counseling to help homosexuals overcome what some of them consider is a behavior they want to quit, something you'll appreciate more in a moment. However, government does not have the right to coerce homosexuals to remain homosexuals if they don't want to. You know, it's odd that homosexuals have the right to decide to be homosexual, and if they are born male, they have the right to change that physical sexual orientation, if you will, to become female if they choose. That right is vigorously supported. But homosexuals do not have the right to seek change in their behavioral and or attitudinal orientation. Their attitudinal identity is immutable, but their physical identity is not. Does it not stand to reason that if one argues a homosexual has the right to be homosexual and to be whatever gender he or she wants to be, that they would then also have the right not to be homosexual? How can biological gender be fluid and changeable, but what, once you self-identify as homosexual, that's it? Now you're ours? Is that what they're saying? Hold on through the break. When I get back, we're going to take a look at AB 2943. Folks, I can see right now that my second segment is going to run a little long, so we're going to roll on through the break.
Stand
and
by.
Continue.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. I've read AB 2943, and now to summarize what this bill is all about, I'll simply read the pertinent parts of the Legislative Council's digest of the point of the bill. Now, it's titled, quote, Unlawful Business Practices, Sexual Orientation Change Efforts, end quote. So that tells you what it's about. Now, here are the pertinent paragraphs of the digest explaining what they're trying to achieve with this law. Quote, existing law prohibits mental health providers, as defined, from performing sexual orientation change efforts, as specified, with a patient under 18 years of age. Existing law requires a violation of this provision to be considered unprofessional conduct and subjects the provider to discipline by the provider's licensing entity. And then, this bill would include, as an unlawful practice prohibited under the Consumer Legal Remedies Act, advertising, offering to engage in, or engaging in sexual orientation change efforts with an individual. The bill would also declare the intent of the legislature in this regard. Basically, what they're doing here is they're removing the 18-year-old restriction. What I'm about to do here is point out specific segments of this bill and offer clarifying commentary to help put this thing in proper focus so that you can take the action you need to take in order to stop it. Now, my first observation, understand this is not about kidnapping someone, you know, against their will and forcing them into some sort of reparative therapy a la re-education camp. And, well, you know, how about North Korea or China? This is about someone who is unsatisfied with their experience in the homosexual lifestyle and they want to get help to make a change, or who for religious conviction purposes want to get out of that. It's also about people who offer to help the homosexual friend, colleague, or neighbor, and so on, who will perhaps advertise their services to those who might be seeking them. The great concern here is that this law, as it is written, can, and we believe it is intended to finally be, applied to ministers of the gospel, who write tracts like The Unabridged Gospel, one of mine, where homosexuality, along with whoremongering and other sinful behaviors that sometimes become addictions, are condemned as trespasses against the Almighty God, and the reader is challenged to repent and turn from such sins. Now, we think there is an intention to apply this to pastoral counseling scenarios where a homosexual comes to us for help with their struggles. And we think it's a first step toward making unlawful for preachers to make statements against the practice of homosexuality from our pulpits and in our publications or in the practice of our ministries, so they can make us an offender for a word. It is a very clear violation of our First Amendment protections. I mentioned Charlton Heston's great speech on the culture war given at Harvard. One of his statements that stood out was this: the homosexual's rights cannot be allowed to extend past the rights of everyone else. Now, I mentioned that the first section of this law, or this bill, is essentially a declaration of the government's opinion about this matter. Their opinion is grounded entirely upon science, and they carefully omit any science that would find contrary to their consensus view. They declare contemporary science recognizes that being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender is part of the natural spectrum of human identity and is not a disease, disorder, or illness. Well, you know, the fact is many scientists disagree with that conclusion. Nature clearly disagrees with it, and, well, the Bible certainly disagrees with it. The sort of science they're depending upon is what the Bible would call science falsely so-called. If anyone does not think scientists can get it wrong, they're living in a make-believe world. That is totally irrational. Obviously, scientists sometimes get it wrong. In fact, often do, and more so lately since they've become so wrapped up in the government politics and so on. Besides, the government does not get to decide what we believe about these things. Now, science might be their Bible, but it's not mine. It might provide the source of support for their ideology. But just like some folks use the Bible to support doctrines that in fact the Bible does not support, you know, some scientists use science to support a scientific conclusion that is not actually supportable in real science. Go figure. The government does not get to decide for me that homosexuality is okay, and therefore I have to accept it. The government does not get to decide for homosexuals whether or not they can seek counseling to overcome their predilections to that behavior. It just so happens that I believe the Bible speaks the truth to this issue and that the behavior is, as the Bible says, unnatural. I have an inalienable right to that opinion, and with that, the inalienable right to express it. Then section 1 refers to a study conducted by the American Psychological Association, which was hijacked by the homosexual activists a long time ago, and I won't have time to go into that. But the APA did some kind of survey in which they compiled a list of what they believe to be the harmful side effects of sex change counseling. And it stipulates, of course, that these are the things that could happen or that can result from sex change counseling. Not that they would, but that they could. And the list is quite long, by the way. And we're going to go over it in a moment. But the first thing I want to bring to your attention is, have you ever heard one of those commercials for a drug that includes this usually sped up recitation of all the possible side effects? And by the time you listened to them all, you went, good night, who'd want to do that? You know, but we know there are possible side effects to any medication you might take. We're not children, we understand that. There is no medical treatment for any ailment that does not come with possible side effects. I mean, that includes aspirin, for heaven's sake. Just because there are possible side effects to a remedy is not by itself a reason not to seek the remedy. Look, to be consistent, these yahoos writing this ridiculous law would have to make it illegal to, quote, advertise, offer to engage in, or engage in, end quote, any effort to cure anyone of anything if this is their criteria. So let's take a look at the potential side effects of sex change counseling as determined by the APA. You're going to notice something very curious about this list. Virtually every one of the items listed is included in another list, the list we call the presenters or the presenting problems. The things going on in the lives of the people who come to us for counseling that motivates them to seek help in the first place. You'll also notice that this list could effectively be said to be a list of possible side effects for virtually anything you might do. Okay, let's go ahead and look at the list. First on the list, confusion. Really? They gotta start with that. Besides the obvious ridiculous irony, the fact is many homosexuals do experience intense confusion and conflict within themselves that arises from engaging in a behavior they intuitively know is contrary to nature and violates their God-given conscience. Now, this is more intense early on because after a while, they can, and most do, sear their conscience so that it no longer functions as God designed it. Next, depression. Yep, that's often what brings them in, and it's a huge problem in the homosexual community. For time's sake, I've had to be selective in which of these I'm going to focus on to make my point here, so let's move on. Guilt. Right, another presenter. This is very often the reason they come to us in the first place, and it's not getting better for them, by the way, because the guilt is not coming from without. It's arising from within. I do wish I had time to develop that and share more insight with you on that matter, but helplessness, hopelessness, shame, yes-a-ree, all of the things that are usually part of what they come to us for help about. Social withdrawal, yeah, the homosexual community is a pretty lonely one, and it continues to be a fairly isolated one. The behavior does not mix well in the main population. People still resist it. Their behavior is aberrant, and to most people, it's abhorrent. They don't like it. They don't want to see it. Many hide that because of the pressure of political correctness. Many squelch their own natural revulsion to this behavior because government and culturally encouraged political correctness has virtually threatened them to hide their true feelings about it. So while the homosexual is encouraged to feel good about their homosexuality, those who have an equally natural, I would say actually natural, revulsion are required to suppress their own instinctual feelings. You see how backwards all of this is? But this one, my friends, is particularly troubling. Suicidality. I'm not even sure that's how they pronounce it. It's a jargon. It's a psychojargon for those who are vulnerable to suicidal tendencies. Now, here is a real problem. The suicide rate among homosexuals has always been very high, my friend. And since all of this demand to accept it has been going on, it hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. Stats are fairly consistent on this. 50% of suicides can be attributed to homosexuals. And that's over the top outrageous when you consider that that population amounts to only 2% and at the most 4% of the general population. All the studies conform very closely to the conclusion that teens' early gender confusion more likely attempt suicide. Suicide is a huge problem in the homosexual community, and it is among the most important reasons that any who want to come out of that lifestyle should be given the help they need, the help they're asking for. Next, substance abuse. Now, you've got to be kidding me. Again, this is among the main reasons homosexuals who want to break free of that lifestyle should be encouraged to get the help they seek. Now, here's a study finding that, quote, 25 to 33% of homosexuals and lesbians are alcoholics. Another study finds that sexual minorities have higher rates of substance abuse and substance use disorders, something called SUDs or SUDs, than people who identify as heterosexual. And this one, LGBT persons also have a greater likeliness than non-LGBT persons of experiencing substance use disorder, SUD, in their lifetime. And they often enter treatment with more severe symptoms. Some common SUD treatment modalities have been shown to be effective for gay or bisexual men. Let me tell you something else. They can get help with their desire to exit the homosexual lifestyle if they truly want that help. And then they add stress as a potential side effect to sex change counseling. Good night. That's a side effect of any counseling. And, well, that's a side effect of listening to the news every day. I mean, this list is clearly inflated to give the impression that there are a whole lot of things that can go wrong if you seek sex change counseling. That's what they're doing. Disappointment is listed. Excuse me? Who doesn't experience disappointment for any myriad of reasons? Here's self-blame, decreased self-esteem and authenticity, increased self-hatred, hostility, blame toward parents, Feelings of anger, betrayal, loss of friends and romantic partners, problems of sexual and emotional intimacy, even high-risk sexual behaviors is listed here. This is insane. Almost all of these things could be included in a list of potential side effects to things like skateboarding, race car driving, skydiving, or engaging in recitals, failing at baseball tryouts. I mean, this is the most unscientific and unreasonable bunch of nonsense that I've ever seen come out of the APA. And I've seen some real boneheaded stuff come out of that group, let me tell you. And yet we have serious people in a serious position to totally mess up our state who are taking this stuff seriously. But consider the fundamentally flawed thinking here. If the government is going to withhold treatment from someone, make it unlawful to seek or provide such treatment based on the potential side effects of that treatment, well, they're going to have to declare it illegal to offer treatment to anyone for anything. I'm going to begin my wrap up on this show. Let's look at what the state wants to make unlawful. In their definition of terms, they stipulate the following, quote, sexual orientation change efforts means any practices that seek to change an individual's sexual orientation. This includes efforts to change behaviors or gender expressions or to eliminate or reduce sexual or romantic attractions or feelings toward individuals of the same sex, end quote. Look how broad this is, any practice. Now that is pretty broad. If a homosexual comes to the Lighthouse Baptist Church, they see the light and they move forward in repentance to come out of a lifestyle that is destructive to them and to others, and that they have come to believe is an abomination to God, and they ask for help to overcome it. According to this law, I would be practicing contrary to what the state says I can do if I approached it the way that I would. But wait. Look at this. Next, right after that, it says, quote, sexual orientation change efforts does not include psychotherapies that A, provide acceptance, support, and understanding of clients or the facilitation of clients' coping, social support, and identity exploration and development, including sexual orientation, neutral interventions to prevent or address unlawful conduct or unsafe sexual practices. And B, do not seek to change sexual orientation. And quote, boy, that's the Holy Grail right there, that sexual orientation thing. So if such a person came to our church and presented themselves to the pastors for counseling, we could address their concerns, but only in a context in which we deny what the Bible says about their behavior and accept blindly what they say about that behavior and affirm their behavior up to and including anything that is not unlawful according to the state. In other words, since pedophilia is unlawful, well, you can get help with that. But since homosexuality enjoys a kind of favored status in the laws of California, you can't go there. But they're trying to legalize pedophilia and bestiality, by the way. And when they do, these things will get included in what this law says or what this law covers. Now, Mr. Heston challenged us to peaceably disobey such nonsense. Obviously, Christians cannot obey this law as it is currently written and as it appears it will be implemented. The apostles clarified this for us early on when they said, quote, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Acts 5:29. And if the governor of our once great state objects to my declaration of an intent to disobey any such unconstitutional and therefore illegal and immoral law, then I call him a hypocrite and the rest of those jackals with him who flaunt their own disobedience to the law of our land with their recent decision to make this state a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state. And I further say that he and they have no proper basis at all to support their action, for their action is contrary to the Constitution of these United States, which is the law of our land. Whereas my disobedience to their unlawful law is grounded upon the law of our state and the law of our God. We'll let that suffice for today. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see they are on. It's lights on if you see the lights are on, and we'll ride like a revere and spread the warning. Essentially, it means you agree with what I'm saying, and or you could say lights off, and that means you reject what I'm saying and disagree strongly with me. So what will it be today? Lights on or lights off? You can email me to let me know by going to our website at brainmassage.net. Please send your message to me and let me know what you think of the show today, positive or negative. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Dr. Scheidbach is a well-respected expert on Bible prophecy. In this exciting series, Dr. Scheidbach takes you deep into the waters of God's Word to make plain the mysteries of biblical prophecy at the Lighthouse. To learn more, call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org.